But the driver that you look at possibly in your report to the House for adoption of stating something to the effect that the issue's been raised and there is some concern, as I understand it, some concern and some merit from the committee, and that the minister be tasked to investigate the inclusion of a broader category within a particular period, let's say 6 months, which is sort of reasonable, and then report back to the House. So that would that's on that one particularly. I have discussed it with Kasatu, who I understand are in agreement with that approach. So, Chair, that's on that one particularly. Otherwise, in terms of amendments, you know, the department has done a detailed response to the submissions. I think it is 22 pages. But effectively, there's then, as a result of that, there are minor amendments, or there are some amendments that the department would be supporting. I don't know if you want me to run through those at this stage, or whether you, or whether you want to just address this issue of the education and health.
Deputy Minister, thank you very much for that input. I think I need to declare upfront that the consultative proposals were very persuasive, and we were inclined to support that. But we appreciate the fact that you have clarified the matter further, and also that you spoke to COSATU, and I also had an opportunity to speak to COSATU on the question of unintended consequences that we all don't want to see. So I hope that these honorable members must have an opportunity to express themselves, but I think your input was very clear. It should guide us in taking a position, especially that COSATU itself has an understanding of the challenges that you've outlined. Honorable Trust.
Chair, I think that the submissions are valid, that there was a very strong argument made for extension and the broader definition. But I do appreciate the Minister's concerns about unintended consequences, and so I would support the proposal that requests the Ministry to relook at this issue and come back to us, because I think that there may well be scope for the extension of the definition to cover those valid aspects that were raised in the submission. So, Chair, but it is often that there are occasions when we pass legislation in a rush and there are unintended consequences. So I would think it's possibly be wise and possible as it is with that definition, and ask the Minister to revert to us in a period that we agree. But I think the emphasis is that, as you said in the committee the other day, the bill is with us. If we want to change it, we can, notwithstanding any other submissions. But it is a valid point that the Deputy Minister makes. Thank you, Chair.
I think it's good to hear all sides and try to find a way that will not create problems for us in the future. We still have the power, as you correctly say, to ask the Minister to look at that and come back to us. Honorable Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Chairperson. I support Honorable Swart's statement to say that we don't need to find ourselves in a situation where we're faced with unintended consequences, and maybe it would be good for the definition to be broadened, and therefore we should then allow the Minister within 6 months to present to us additional amendments.
I actually made the ministers, ex-ministers, example. If we were to check all the students at all, I would create dependent problems that any other person who would have violent opposition to the proposal,
the just the wording that we would rather prefer that the definition should read, basic service means a service provided by the public or private sector and the rest to follow, and not to refer to includes, because includes means there's something preceding. So rather, for the purpose of the bill, to indicate basic service means. Thank you, sir.
Maybe this will assist. I support the state law advisor's further amendments. So, being then basic service means a service provided by the public or private sector. Just an inclusion under tampering, under tamper, and that is just a definition for tampering. And so there's a few words added, and tampering shall be construed accordingly.
Technical, if I may come in, maybe the tampering should just be in inverted commas as well from a technical point of view.
On the next page, this, as I understand, come from the NPA submission, and that's additions on the offence relating to essential infrastructure. The first is, well, I'll deal with them as because they're a package, that under, the person unlawfully and intentionally does these things under A and B, and the person who knows or ought reasonably to have known, and then what is inserted is or suspected. And then under two is the detail of what ought reasonably to have known or suspected means. Now that wording I'm told has been taken from other legislation that has similar wording, and the most recent one passed by Parliament was the Prevention of Trafficking Act. So Mr. Swart in particular may remember that wording. So there's nothing new to it, it's just similar provisions, and I think it's also in an older piece of legislation, Prevention of Organized Crime Act. But it widens it slightly, but for members who are afraid that it's going too wide, it is already in existing law, poker and trafficking. That's the one. The second one then is just also... Then on that page is the inclusion. Mm-hmm. is just at the end of 3.1, and that's the inclusion of corporate body, which has also come from the National Prosecuting Authority, for a private person, the first is liable to a period of imprisonment not exceeding 30 years. The accused could be a corporate body, and the NPA had wanted that gap filled. Corporate bodies can be found guilty of crimes as provided by Section 3322 of the Criminal Procedure Act. And then, so something, because you can't imprison a corporate body, it would need to be a fine, and there's two options put down for the committee. Either a fine not exceeding 100 million rand, or a fine as the court may deem fit to impose. So that's why there's that asterisk and the backslash.
Okay, for the court. Such a discretion, such a wide discretion.
Okay, I mean, it's obviously the court has discretion, so even if you go for the 100 million, the court, that's the maximum. The court can decide less. I think it probably would be better to say the 100 million, not exceeding 100 million, because it shows to the court that it's regarded as very serious. Whereas if it's less, then it's up to the court to decide how much the fine must be. The court doesn't have any indication as to how serious Parliament regards the offence.
Any other response to that? I think we're all happy.
Chair, then the other amendment is on page 9, and it's a small addition in the second line. And it's, I think, more typographical one. It's a bit confusing because the underlines are what's in the bill. Where there's a double line underline, that's an addition or an amendment that's being proposed to the bill. But it's inclusion of the words which relate to an offence. So it used to read any offence referred to in sections of Organised Crime Act involving ferrous or non-ferrous metal. And the amendment then is to include the words which relate to an offence. So it's more of a a stylistic issue, I think.
You can just explain, because it says any offence which relates to an offence. Maybe we can just get a better understanding of that. It says any offence referred to in those sections which relates to an offence. So you are, it's a subcategory of offences then. Any offence is referred to in those sections which relates to an offence involving ferrous, which form part as defined. Does it make sense when you read it?
You can't know. Yes, we must remember all the offences in the POCA Act are always committed in relation to another offence, like racketeering or let's say money laundering, where you receive money and you have this transaction with somebody to conceal the source of that. So in money laundering, for instance, this will be applicable where the money is the proceeds of, for instance, second-hand goods in that sense. So it cannot be involving, it must be in relation to another offence, whether it's theft or fraud or contravention of second hand, but only where ferrous and non-ferrous metals are
concerned. That's important, thank you very much. Anyone who doesn't understand, like Honorable Lesson? So we all agree with you, Dr. Kutu.
Thanks, Chair. Then the last one is on page 11, and that's a consequential amendment to the Prevention of Organised Crime Act. So it's the clause, it's a new clause, effectively 9. The old clause 9 will then get pushed up to clause 10. But it's the thing in the middle of page 11, amendment to Schedule 1 of the POCA Act, and it's an amendment to the POCA Act by inserting the following item under 33A, an offence referred element that should have been included.
Any comments?
Consequential, I guess. I mean, it follows of necessity. So we are happy with that.
Yeah, those are the amendments that the department is proposing as a result of the public hearings.
Can we put all the amendments in the whole? Anybody who have a problem substance of all of them as a whole incorporated in the honorable on?
Okay, shouldn't the committee first exercise a choice in respect of paragraph 3 on page 5?
The whole provision of what's trying to be included is a penalty for corporate bodies. And yes, it could be to a fine. I suppose it then could be just a fine full stop, because obviously it's the discretion of the court, although if you say, as the court may decide, it then makes it clear that it's the court, so they don't have to look any further. But I think the recommendation from the discussion, as a result of the discussion that I've been wanting to make, is to go for the first section, which is a maximum fine, which shows the court the seriousness of the matter. Obviously, they can go much, much less, but at least they've got an idea that Parliament regards it as a serious matter. So it would then lead to a fine, a maximum fine of 100 million. Obviously, it's less. Well, it's an either-or, Honourable Member. It's an either-or. And I agree with you if you're saying it, that as the court they wish to impose on its own is not really adding much, because a court will impose the fine, whereas, so what I'm suggesting then is the first part, a maximum fine.
That's what we agree with.
Yes. No, what I'm saying, the what's the, after the flash gets deleted.
Having that had that clarification, can we get all the proposals, the whole well-meant that, and thank you, Minister. I think we really need to commend your staff, Dr. Walter. We have never had cabinet that you can see they apply their minds to legislation, and that's very helpful to this committee. We want to convey our gratitude to them for helping us. Yes. Honorable Deputy Minister, can we move to the chair?
Thank you.
then procedurally you'll vote on the bill tomorrow with the report and the suggestions would get included in the report relating to the education and education and health. The chair, with the judicial matters, we would be eager for the committee to finalise the bill so that it can get passed by both houses before we rise. Again, there's a document that I think was given out some time ago on a response to the public submissions, but effectively there are two main ones that we want to propose, having considered the or in response to the public submissions. The one is with regard to clause 6, which was an amendment to Special Investigation Units and Special Tribunals Act relating to reporting procedures. And we wanted to propose that, I mean, it's on consideration and having sort of heard the submission from the SIU, more work needs to be done in that regard in terms of considering the reporting basis. You know, the issue is that the SIU is assigned by the president to investigate matters. There was a view that because often the bodies that they investigate can be charged by the SIU, that there should be reports to that body, that those reports could undermine the whole purpose of the investigation in the first place. So one would need to look at the options more carefully. So what we would be wanting to propose is that clause 6 comes out, not that it's rejected, but that we're given more time to rework on that matter and on proposals relating to the reporting mechanisms for the SIU. So that's the first amendment that we would want to propose. I don't know if you want me to leave it, move on to the second, or you want to get the committee's input.
I think the commission is not a problem, but let's dispose of that. Anyone who is at the bottom is given a better loss, because obviously, as the deputy minister is saying, it means more work, and some of us also had reservations, because initially that piece of legislation was before the president of issue proclamations. But if before that the report is given to the president, and everybody who may be affected already have a sight of the report, it may just create more confusion as to what we're doing. So I think that the safety valve would be the proposal by the deputy minister that that out so that more work done, not that we are rejecting, but make safe space for more work to be done. Wonderful.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I don't have a problem with it being removed for further work. I just think that while further work is to be done, there's other considerations the minister, the deputy minister and the department might also take into account. And that's that while I mean, we are in a field like that, an institution like the SIU, given our current circumstances, can play a vitally important role in the combating of corruption and possibly even getting some of the money lost through corruption back. There is a difficult balance to be kept also in respect of accountability. While the SIU is working with public funds, and then also the possible verging onto the issue of separation of power. So whilst the President, in terms of the current Act, definitely has the power to issue the proclamation, it may create a difficult situation where there is no checks and balances in the system to also oversee the work the SIU is doing ultimately before it comes to fruition. So to just close the space of reporting altogether may also create the possibility of further problems in this regard. So I know it's a difficult balance to strike, but the plea is just that the department and the deputy minister take cognizance of this fear on our part that, that if the balance is not struck correctly, then we may have constitutional difficulties. Thank you.
Thank you for raising that. I think, Mr. we need to take this consensus on any other member who is rather concerned that the Ministry of Finance is able to
thank you, Chairperson. We just need to support the Minister's proposal that they go into reading this topic. Just we want to support the Minister's proposal.
Thank you, Chairperson. I can see all honourable members. I have the honourable Sunan. You are.
The second, and it's in two parts, but it's effectively the same thing. The second issue that was controversial with the bill was the reporting in terms of the Sexual Offences Act and the Child Justice Act. And starting with the Sexual Offences Act, its clause, clause 15, and the same applies to child justice. The problem basically is that the way the Sexual Offences Act and the Child Justice Act are worded is that the minister must table a report after consultation with other ministers, and the problem has been the practical issue of sometimes not all those departments submit reports, and then the report is late. The original proposal was to require the Director Generals to submit, but it's agreed that that is not appropriate because they're not executive authority. So the change, I don't know if everybody's got this document, is my understanding is that the officials from Justice have consulted with the other departments affected and with civil society organizations, and there's consensus on this wording, which would be that the minister, that's the Minister of Justice, and the cabinet members responsible for safety and security, correctional services, social development and health, and not later than the 30th of September every year, after the commencement of Section 14 of this Act, the Judicial Matters Amendment Act, each submit report is prescribed to Parliament by each department or institution as contemplated in Section 63.2 on the implementation of this Act, and then B, report thereon to a committee or committees of Parliament, not all Parliament, sitting jointly or separately as determined by Parliament. And that lastly, the cabinet members referred to must, in their individual reports, that report on the implementation of training courses. So that's the gist of the amendment. I think Mr. Bassett wants to, through you, Chair, wants to add.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Chair, the wording is to be found in the document, in the response document, on pages 14 and 15, if that would help you. What we've also been requested to add, and I haven't had an opportunity to discuss it with the Deputy Minister, I must confess I forgot, there has also been a proposal that the following departments or the following ministers should also be brought on board, basic education, higher education and training, and COPTA, and that's just for this committee's consideration. It goes a bit, I think the ministers that are involved are the core ministries. that the other ministers can be co-opted onto the committees that have been created, the intersectoral committees that have been created in terms of these two acts, the Sexual Offences Act and the Child Justice Act. That is something for just consideration. In the act, that was just a suggestion that's been made.
But maybe something that needs to be looked into. You know, sometimes so it shouldn't be like it's just going through the motions of the entry report and submitted. I still want to see point of coordination.
Lastly, there are just some consequential amendments relating to the South African Judicial Education Act, where I think there was one, it's effectively, I mean, the amendments there were, when we passed SAJE, there was no Office of the Chief Justice, and the amendments in the bill introduced were changing Director General to Secretary General, and Department of Justice and Constitutional Development Office of Chief Justice. And in addition to what's already there, it's that Office of the Chief Justice and Secretary General needs to be defined, so there's definitions in terms of that. And then there was an additional section where Director General was not substituted by Secretary General. So it's those consequential amendments.
We support the amendment to replace GG with a new position in the Office of the Chief Justice of Secretary General.
Any other? I think the term is consequential. So of necessity we need that. So we are...
Chair, those are the amendments we would be proposing on the Judicial Matters Bill, and I would then hope that when you, that tomorrow hopefully you would finalise this as well, so that the further consultations on the additional ministers, those can be looked at in further legislation.
Anyone have any other amendments, say those that are proposed by the gentleman? None, so we are happy with that. And the question is that we must say that your hands-on approach is very helpful.
Thank you, Chair. Just from a technical point of view, we've got our bills in line with the discussions, as you've seen, with the criminal procedure, and we just have to do the same to the judicial matters. It's virtually done, and we'll have to prepare the A-list for consideration by the committee, which we'll have ready tomorrow, and then the objects memos have to be adapted accordingly, but that's not too onerous, so we will make all those changes and then bring the new documentation and the formal documentation for the committee's consideration.
No one raised that because in the past you have done that very well. So we have no doubt that you will continue that tradition. So I'm looking forward to the final protest. Thank you.
There's lots I could say, but I thought about these goals, so I'll leave it for now. Thanks.
that the scheduling of Thursday morning creates a problem.
We ask the whips of the other parties to interact with your party.
Can you just maybe get an indication as to when we will be dealing with the DRR reports? We have received the draft from Justice.